Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Nehemiah. The Old Testament passage of Nehemiah and chapter number 8. Nehemiah and chapter number 8. Now, as we've been going through the period of the Restoration, we understand that the Jewish people were taken captive in 586 BC by the Babylonians. There they were scattered all throughout the Babylonian Empire for 70 years until the Persians took charge. After Cyrus the Great gave a decree allowing the Jewish people to come home, we saw the first return under Zerubbabel, where he brought about 50,000 Jewish people back to Judea and the Jerusalem area. And it was there that they began to rebuild the temple to worship God. After that, Ezra led a second return, and he was there to reestablish the worship of God. And now we've gone through Nehemiah, where Nehemiah came back leading the third return to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And after much spiritual warfare, after much fighting, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in 52 days. And now, as a celebration, as an official kicking off of the rebuilding of the walls and to celebrate the worship of God, they are now gathered together nationally, and they are having a special service going on. And if you don't mind, let's oversee this service, eavesdrop on it, see what's going on in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, notice with me in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand, and all the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mathaniah, and Shemaiah, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Helkanah, and Manasseh. And on the right hand, and on his left, Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Malachiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadanah, and Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen! Amen! With lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And also Joshua and Benaiah and Sherebiah and Jamin and Elkamah and Shabbatithi, and Hadarajah, and Manasseh, and Kelita, and Azariah, and Jochebed, and Hanan, and Pelkanah, and all the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tershareth, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, and the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children should dwell in the booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and all of Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in the courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all of the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto the day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. And if you're in the habit of marking things, would you mark an entire verse that we find in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8? Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, maybe you want to star it, maybe you want to underline it, maybe you want to mark it some other way. But Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And from Nehemiah chapter 8, especially in verse number 8, I'd like to preach a message from you about biblical preaching. Biblical preaching. And with the Lord's help, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray as we preach about biblical preaching. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. Lord, we thank you so much for your Bible. We thank you so much that you've given it to us for us to read, for us to understand, for us to obey. I'm asking, Lord, that you would just please help us now as we explain what the Bible says, that we could apply what the Bible says, that we could understand ourselves. Lord, thank you again. I'm very conscious right now of my need of you. I dare not trust my own. I dare not trust my flesh, my desires, my thoughts. So I give them all to you, Lord, and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit, and that once again, that you would help us to understand your word, that you would bless your Bible today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, it gives, if you could forgive the word, the formula, the pattern for biblical preaching. And the pattern for biblical preaching, which is given throughout the Bible in various passages, is this. Biblical preaching is to read the text, to explain the text, and to apply the text. So biblical preaching consists of those three things. That biblical preaching, true biblical preaching, consists of reading the text, explaining the text, and applying the text. Reading the text, explaining the text, and applying the text. We find this pattern throughout the Bible. Now, when we talk about biblical preaching, it's always good to define terms, because people define things in different ways, and we want to make sure that we have an understanding. We know that there's a difference between preaching and biblical preaching. Now, if you're going to take the word preaching and define what preaching is at its core, it carries the idea of bringing people to a place of decision. So preaching, just in its simple form, is bringing people to the place of decision. Some people think that the difference between teaching and preaching is volume. That if I talk in a normal tone, that I'm just teaching. But if I'm preaching, I'm lifting up my voice. Well, that's not what preaching is. Preaching is just bringing people to the place of decision. And so different people can preach. They're bringing people to a place of decision, using that idea of it that the Bible says we're all supposed to preach the gospel. We're supposed to go out and tell people what the gospel says, help them to understand it, and bring them to the place of deciding to follow after Christ. So in that sense, the Bible tells us that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We understand that preaching is just bringing people to the place of decision. Now, what we're referring to is not that, but when we're talking about preaching in the context here, we're talking about someone behind a pulpit with an open Bible declaring God's word. And even there is a difference between preaching and biblical preaching. Now, preaching, again, as in its sense, is bringing people to a place of decision. And there are many good preachers who will declare a message. Sometimes they won't even open a Bible at all, but they will declare a message and bring people to a place of decision. There are some people who open the Bible, read one verse, close the Bible, and then they will preach a message. There are some good preachers and some bad preachers that do that. When we refer to biblical preaching, what we're referring to is that someone taking the Bible and teaching what the Bible says and letting the Bible speak for itself. In that case, biblical preaching is when someone reads the text, explains the text, and applies the text. This is the preferred biblical method. Why? Because God's word can do its own work. We understand that someone who refers to biblical preaching is someone who understands that God's word can do its own work. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 55 that God's word will never return void. It will always accomplish what God wants it to do. And so a biblical preacher is someone who can trust that God's word can do its own work. Does that make sense? Now, there's many people who, even people I've listened to, who are good preachers, but they're not Bible preachers. They may say things that are true. They may say things that are biblical. They may even throw some Bible verses in. But when it's all said and done, they're not teaching people what the Bible says. They're not walking through, and people have a better idea of what the text says when they're done. Now, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying there's a difference between preaching and Bible preaching. As for me, what God has done with me is very clearly designed me to be a Bible preacher. That very clearly, I love to read the text, to explain the text, and to apply the text. And that's exactly what verse 8 is saying. So they read in the book of the law distinctly. So what that means is that they read the Bible in a way that people could understand it. That they're trying to enunciate the words. They're trying to be very careful. And I understand that sometimes I read fast and from time to time I forget a word or overlook a word. Thank you, public school. But, you know, but we're trying to clearly say this is what the Bible says. In my opinion, the most important part of a message is the Bible reading that I do at the very beginning, because God's word will do its own work. So we read the text distinctly. We open up the word of God and see what the Bible says. Just read the passage. The second thing, and gave the sense. That carries the idea that we explain the text and that we take the Bible and explain what the Bible means. We take our time and to make the sense, to try to make it make sense to people. And the Bible should make sense to people. We've all listened to preachers that when they preached, we had no clue what they said when they were done. Well, they failed on this part. That what we're trying to do is trying to read the text, and then we explain in ways that people could understand what the Bible says. And then it says in verse 8, so they read the book in the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. This carries the idea that they applied the text. Remember, parents, when we talk to our children, when we say, "Did you hear me?" we're expecting them to do action, right? It's not like, "I heard the words you said." No, we're expecting them to have action, right? We expect them to do something with what they heard. This is what this carries idea, that they cause them to understand the reading. So because I understood what it said, what am I going to do about it? This is to apply the text. Now, using that as my outline, that they read the text, they explained the text, they applied the text, let's look at Ezra chapter number 8, and let's see this unfold in Ezra chapter 8. The first thing I'd like to show you is that he read the book. He read the book. Notice with me in verse number 1. He read the book. Verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So what they did is that the people all gathered up, they all showed up, they picked Ezra and said, Ezra, you take the Bible and you read us the Bible. Take the Bible and explain it to us. Verse number 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women. So notice that Bible preaching is not just for men, it's for women too, for men and women, but not only that, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. So biblical preaching is not just for men, it's also for women, but it is also for all of those that have understanding, that if they can understand what the preacher is saying, they should be paying attention and listening. This is, we're not against a nursery. A nursery is for those who do not understand the preaching. But when they get to the place of understanding, they should be attentive to the preacher. They should be taught how to listen to the preaching, how to respond, how to listen to it, how to listen and read along. That's part of training. That's part of the parents. But here it's saying, who's all there? Men and women, and all of those that are able to understand, all of those with understanding. Notice again in verse number 3 as it reiterates that. And he, that's Ezra, read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning unto midday. And you think, my preaching is long. Literally what he did is he took the first 5 books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in one setting, he read all 5 books in front of everyone. See, it can be done. And so he took time and he read the first 5 books of the Bible out loud for everyone. Why is this a big deal? You understand, God's word can do its own work. He just took the Bible and read unto the people the Bible, and their hearts begin to respond because God's word will do its own work. Just got to let it loose. Just got to let it go. Notice as it goes on. And he read before the street that was before the water gate from the morning to midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And notice this, and all of the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. You notice this last phrase, that all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Do you know that you have just as much as a biblical responsibility to be spirit-filled listeners as I do to be a spirit-filled preacher? That you, under the Bible's authority, are to be prepared to listen, to be ready to hear the word of God, to take the precautions that are necessary to make sure that you can listen to the word of God to allow it to do its own work. This is part of reading God's word, is that people need to be ready not to come in distracted. We understand we have distractions. You have to work to set them at the door. You have to make sure that you stay awake. That's why we have atomic fireballs available. Do what it takes to stay alive, to stay awake, to be ready. This is part of your responsibility. You understand that if you're asleep, the word of God's not going to help you much. We don't learn by osmosis. Otherwise, I'd tell you, guys, what you need to do is take the Bible and you go ahead and put it underneath your pillow. And if you sleep, it will soak it all. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work when you were in high school and it doesn't work now. That you are to prepare yourself to hear the word of God. And that everyone was attentive as he read the word of God, because this is important. This is a big deal. And so the first thing that we did is that we saw that he read the book. The second thing that we see in this text is not only did he read the book, but he explained the book. We understand this is biblical preaching, that he read the text and then he explained the text. Notice with me in verse number 5. And Ezra opened up the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, some people will take this verse and I think take out of context, and they'll have people stand up for the preaching of God's word. I have no problems with it. But if you were to follow the context, they stood for the entire church service. I choose not to make you stand for the entire church service, so it's all right that we don't stand necessarily. But for this case and for these people, when he took the Bible, out of respect, they all stood up. And they were all prepared to listen to it. Again, I don't feel like having you stand for 3 hours. I'm doing enough standing for us all. I want you to sit there and take notes and prepare to listen. But notice what happened. So Ezra stood above the people so all of them could see him. Verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And so Ezra took it. So first of all, biblical preaching is from the Word of God. Biblical preaching doesn't come from our imaginations, our thoughts. It comes from the Word of God. Bible preaching is just explaining what the Bible says. Another thing about biblical preaching is that biblical preaching lifts up the Lord. Biblical preaching lifts up the Lord. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Remember, all Bible preaching is supposed to exalt God. If we ever get to the place where people are preaching and they don't mention God, they don't mention Jesus, then it's not good preaching. We understand that there's many preachers out there that will preach a lot of self-help stuff. How to have a good day. How to keep a smile on your face. How to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. But you understand that stuff is temporary. The most important thing is to bring us closer to God, because God changes us from the inside out. All biblical preaching lifts the Lord up and lifts it up. So biblical preaching comes from the Word of God. Biblical preaching lifts up the Lord. Biblical preaching should be agreed with. Biblical preaching should be agreed with. Notice with me in verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen, with lifting up their hands. You know what the word amen means? It means I agree. And if you're going to be biblical, you should say amen every now and again. Good. I wanted you to practice, so you beat me to it. Amen means I agree. That means when the preacher's preaching and he's saying something that is true from the Bible that you agree with, you should say amen. You should lift up. You should say, I agree with what the Bible says. Amen. In the South, we got little ladies with hankies and they wave it. Amen, preacher. Amen. It's good to say that. It's good for having a church to say, I agree with the preacher. Because you understand, there are some topics that are hard to preach. And there are some topics that sometimes people will disagree with the preacher. It always helps people to respond better when they know that the other people are saying, this is true. This is right. Amen. 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 Biblical preaching should be agreed with. And there's nothing wrong with saying amen every now and again when you agree with a preacher. Another thing that we see here is that biblical preaching should bring people closer to the Lord. Biblical preaching should bring us closer to the Lord. Notice with me in verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen! Amen! With lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Biblical preaching, when it's all said and done, should bring us closer to the Lord. That preaching from the Word of God should bring people to a closer relationship with God. That they should be closer. If you've been in a church that's preaching the Bible and that you're paying attention to the Bible, by the end of 1 year, you should be closer with the Lord because of the preaching of God's Word than what you were the year before. You should always be getting closer with the Lord. Biblical preaching should draw us to the Lord. And it should cause us to worship Him. It should cause us to understand more about Him. It should cause us to have a better relationship with the Lord. That biblical preaching should bring us closer to the Lord. Another thing that we see about biblical preaching here is that biblical preaching should be simple enough to allow people to understand the Bible. Biblical preaching should be simple enough to allow people to understand the Bible. Notice, if you don't mind, as we finish up in verse number 8. And so they read the book of the law of God distinctly, and he gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, we already explained this understanding, but you'll see this word understanding throughout the text here in Nehemiah chapter 8. They understood, they understood, they understood, they understood. If you could allow me to use a southern colloquialism, we should have preaching so simple we put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Get the cookies so everyone could grab them. Not up in the high where only you have to get the tall people to go get the cookies for you. You want them on the bottom shelf so everyone can grab it. Biblical preaching should be simple enough that people say, I understand what the preaching, I understand what I'm supposed to do with it. I understand what the Bible is telling me. That biblical preaching should be so simple, it should be simple enough for people to understand the Bible. That the way that we preach, that people should say, I know what the Bible is saying now. It should be so clear and so distinct that when people go back and read the Bible for themselves, they have a better understanding of the Bible because of the biblical preaching. And so as we talked about it, that first of all, he read the text. And we talked about the importance of people listening, boys and girls, men and women. Everyone who is old enough to understand should be prepared to listen to the Word of God. We explained that some of the things that biblical preaching does, that not only do we read the text, but we apply the text. And we understand that biblical preaching comes from the Word of God. Biblical preaching lifts up the Lord. Biblical preaching should be agreed with. Biblical preaching should bring people closer to the Lord. And that biblical preaching should be simple enough that it causes people to understand the Bible. And so as we again go with our outline, that he read the text, he explained the text, and now we come to the third part, he applied the book. He applied the book, he applied the text. Notice with me in verse number 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tershareth, which again, it's talking about Nehemiah, that Tershareth was second in charge, second in command. And Nehemiah, which was the Tershareth, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people and said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Here, as we talk about the application of the Bible, notice this. The Word of God caused people to weep, repent, and turn to the Lord. The Word of God caused people to weep, repent, and turn to the Lord. You understand, when biblical preaching goes forth, when we apply the text, what happens is that people realize that they're sinners. They realize that there are things that need to be fixed in their life. By the way, that's why we have what is called an old-fashioned altar. There's nothing magical about the altar, but it allows people to respond to the message, to come and get things right, to say, this needs to be fixed, and I'm going to fix this. This is something that needs to be adjusted. I need to get adjusted. I am sorry that I did this, and I now repent, which carries the idea of changing a mind, which leads to a change of behavior. And so when the Word of God is applied, the Word of God causes people to weep, repent, and turn to the Lord. Notice this. When the Word of God is preached, notice this in verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, notice this, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Another thing that we see when the Word of God is applied, that the Word of God causes people to realize the joy of the Lord is our strength. That the preaching of God's Word causes us to realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now let's define terms again. What does joy mean? Does joy mean happy? Does it mean that you're walking around giggling and laughing? The word joy just is an idea of a peace with God. And joy only comes from God. You understand that when I have peace of God and peace with God, that that is a source of strength? You understand that when I'm right with God, I can face an ungodly world. When I am right with God, it allows me to go to work one more day and deal with those heathen I work with. When I am right with God, it allows me to deal with family members who want to irritate me. When I am right with God, I can be the person that God intended me to do. That the joy of the Lord is my strength. That when I am right with God, when I am thoroughly right with God, I'll be right with everyone else. And I'll be right with the situation. That the Bible talks about there's a peace that passeth all understanding. This is that joy of the Lord. That how in the world can you have peace? Because I know I'm right with God. That the rest of the world, my situation may not be good, but God is always good and God is always right. And I am at peace with Him right now. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so as we see that he read the book, he explained the book, he applied the book, let's see some more about what happens when we apply the book. That we know that the word of God, when it's applied, it causes people to weep, repent, and turn to the Lord. That the word of God, when it's applied, it causes people to realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. Why? Because they had understood the words that were declared unto him. We understand here that when the word of God, when it's applied, when it's understood, it allows people to move forward in their life. That what happened because of the preaching of God's word, they're able to go and take care of these other things. They're able to move forward. They're able to have great mirth, which has the idea of excitement, of joyfulness, because they understood the words that were declared to them. They understood what they were supposed to do, and now they can move forward in their life. You understand that there are some people that because they're not right with God, because things are miserable in their life, they have a hard time sleeping. They have a hard time eating. They have a hard time getting along with others. They have a hard time getting along with family members, with other people, with themselves. But you understand, when biblical preaching comes, it allows us to move forward in our life, to take care of things in our life. Biblical preaching works. There is nothing, according to the Bible, that cannot be solved by a biblical message if people apply it. That there's a biblical message for whatever situation you're going through, that God can give you help. That the Bible still works. Notice, if you don't mind, as we still talk about applying biblical preaching, notice with me in verse number 13. And on the second day were gathered together all the chief of the fathers of the people, and the priests and the Levites and Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the Lord. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And it's going to continue to go on and describe what's going on all the way through verse 17. But we see this, that when the word of God is applied, the word of God allows people to respond biblically and to obey. That the word of God allows people to respond biblically and to obey. Now, what it's talking about is booths. And you say, what in the world is this? Booths were a temporary housing. And what it was recorded in the Word of God in the Old Testament, for the Old Testament law, that when they came to the Feast of Tabernacles, that all the people were supposed to gather together in Jerusalem and go through a special feast at the temple. Now, if you have an influx of all the people in Judea or Israel coming to Jerusalem to worship, that's a lot of people. And so the Bible said, guess what? You need to build some temporary housing of leaves and whatever else, because remember, hot Palestinian sun, that you want to build somewhere where you could, during the day, have shelter. During the night, you have a little place secured where you could go to sleep. And so wherever you went, instead of going and buying a hotel room and doing this, that everyone was to build a temporary housing. And what's amazing is that this had never been obeyed since the days of Joshua. So for hundreds of years, almost 1,000 years, can you imagine that? 1,000 years, this had not been obeyed. And now the people said, you know what? I think we need to obey this. You know, they could have said, you know, no one's obeyed this thing in 1,000 years. But you had some people who are thoroughly right with God that said, you know what? We want to obey what the Bible says, no matter if everyone else is doing it or not. We're going to obey this. We don't care if it's fashionable or not. We're going to obey this. We don't care what other Christians say, other believers, other Jewish people say. We're going to obey this. That they got to the place where they understood the text and they were willing to obey whatever the Bible said, even if they formally agreed with it or not. That as long as it wasn't unbiblical, illegal, or immoral, they were determined to obey what it said no matter what. That's applying biblical preaching, that they said, we want to obey it. And they did respond, and they went ahead and did these houses and the temporary houses, and it says that they built them all over the place. God had blessed that, by the way, as they had a desire to obey the word of God. Notice with me in verse 17, we see something else. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. Notice this. And there was very great gladness. What do we learn about here? When the word of God is applied, when the word of God is obeyed, it brings gladness. You understand, there is nothing like knowing that you are obedient to God. If you could forgive the personal illustration, we all know it was cold last night, negative 10 plus. And God had put on my wife and I's heart to go visit someone who lived out in the country at dark. And so we're trying, you know, trying to get Siri to tell us the right direction and trying to make sure that we get to the right place. And we knock on the door and we talk to the people for a while. And when we came back in, both my wife and I looked at each other and said, "You man, I feel obedient." We may not have spent a lot of time at the person that we were visiting's house, but we said, "Man, we feel obedient." There is nothing like knowing that you've obeyed God, that you've been pleasing and that you've done what He's asked you to do. There is nothing like that gladness that comes to know that you're not just right with God, but you've obeyed what He's told you to do. Oh, it's a blessing. And that comes when the Bible is applied, when it is clearly said, what do we do with this text? That people respond to it and it brings gladness. One more thing I'd like to show you as they apply the book, that we understand that they read the text, they explained the text, then they applied the text. Notice with me in verse 18. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. One last thing I'd like to show you is that the word of God, when it's applied, when the word of God is taught correctly, it brings people back ready to listen. That the word of God taught correctly brings people back ready to listen. You understand that we live in a world today that modern Christianity does not have biblical preaching. And you know, one of these days, one of these goofballs are going to get the sense that when they preach the Bible, that people are going to go, "Hey, this is new. This is good. We should do this more often." You understand that's already happened? That there are many people think it's a new thing to actually take the Bible like we do and to preach it. This is such a new, rare concept. They think it's new. Isn't that strange? You understand that the biggest thing that this church has got going on is not our programs. It's not our music. It's not even our smiles. It's Bible preaching. And you understand that people will come back because of the preaching of God's word. That God's word, when it is read clearly, when it is explained clearly, when it is applied clearly, will make such a change in people's lives that people want more of it. That the greatest thing that we got going on is the preaching of God's word. And people are hungry for it. You understand that there are more people who would come to this church if they just knew we had this type of preaching. There are people looking and desiring and begging this type of stuff. And it comes when we read the text, we explain the text, and we apply the text. You understand, this is simple. But it works because God's word will not return void. God's word will do its own work. That Bible preaching will give people a reason to come back. You understand that if we put entertainment the goal, that after a while their clown show will stop being entertaining and they'll go somewhere else to find entertainment. That whether it's weightlifters for the Lord, clowns for Christ, you know, weightlifters for Jesus or whatever else they have, that will run its course. But Bible preaching will not get old. Bible preaching will always work. And people will create such a desire and a hunger for it that if someone was to come into this pulpit and they were to read a text and then close the Bible and tell stories, we may say, "That was interesting, but I really wish he preached the Bible." That will create such a desire for the preaching of God's word that we desire it and we want it. I'm sorry that I've spoiled you guys so much that you will have a hard time if someone does not preach the Bible. But that's a good thing because you've been taught what the Bible says. And this is the biblical principle found throughout the word of God. That the simple thing is to read the text, to explain the text, and to apply the text. Isn't that good stuff? You say, well, how do we apply this text here? The simple application may not be necessarily a change in your life, but the application should be, this is the type of preaching that we want our church to have. This is the type of preaching we want our pastor to continue to do. This is the type of preaching we are going to stick with because this is what the Bible says. And so the application is not so much changing your life. The application is teaching you what the Bible says. And then you say, this is what we want. We agree with the Bible. Maybe some of you need to make the application of saying amen a little bit more often, right? To say, I agree with this. I'm here with this. I agree with the Bible says. And we're standing where the Bible says. And you know, we know that there are some people who will not like Bible preaching because they don't want to obey the Bible. But there are so many people who are hungry, they want to obey the Bible, that when they hear this type of preaching, they say, this is it. This is what I want. And we're going to stick with the book. We're going to read the text. We're going to explain the text. And we're going to apply the text. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.